Trocheck behind the net. Being spied by the Rangers. Hanging on to it. Gets it to Teravainen. Back to D'Angelo. D'Angelo takes a look. Sends it to Svechnikov. Back to D'Angelo. His shot, the score! On the power play! Net front presence! And the Canes have paradise by the goal line. A 1-0 lead for Carolina. Canes, busting in. Sends it across, the score! Seth Jarvis buries it! And Carolina jumps out 2-0. Kept into the blue line, yes. Great job by Aho. That shot hits the post as Stepan was in front. Stepan was providing net front as Aho flung one towards Georgiev.
Teravainen's hurt. Oh boy.
Teravainen takes a big hit, and coming to his defense is Jesperi Kotkaniemi. As he went after Barkley Goodrow, as the Canes didn't like the hit that was delivered on Teravainen.
We're not going to worry about the fact they're aging me in dog years.
Teravainen, spinning shot, Aho with the follow-up, and he scores! Oh, the sorcery continues against the Rangers for Aho! And the Canes get their three-goal lead back, it's 4-1 Carolina. Now Trocheck, he's got the power play goal to Aho. Aho, for D'Angelo, he walks the blue line. D'Angelo shot, he scores! The applause getting louder. 3 seconds left. Canes send this the length of the ice, and that's the game. Tony D'Angelo with a monster night. A goal and two assists. Sebastian Aho with another big night. 200 assists for a career in his 400th game, and a goal. Frederick Anderson, 21 wins. And the Canes have their 27th win of the season.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast. Adam Gold with you, and the Hurricanes made another statement. Two games in 3 days, two statements made. I think this statement was better than the other statement. The one against Boston was about a team that's flat better than one better than the other. Carolina did that on the road in Boston. I don't know that there's that much separating the Hurricanes and the New York Rangers, but Carolina made a statement tonight. They did not take their foot off the gas in the first two periods at all. Carolina was way the better team through two. They did get a little bit of comfortable in the third period, but they got back on it and closed the game out in style. They win it 6-3. Alec Campbell will join us in just a little bit. Remember, we're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. Sammy Hanna and his crew do a great job. Again, free no obligation estimate online at aluminumcompany.com. Coming off after the win in Boston, where Carolina was thoroughly dominant in a 7-1 win, to me, and I said this about the last time they played Boston, this is not to say that Boston isn't good. There are different levels of playoff teams in each conference. And I believe Boston is at a tier below what I believe to be the best teams in the East. And I think the East, especially the Metro, is just absolutely loaded. Like, even though Washington has struggled, I'm not sure that there's that much difference at all between the Hurricanes, the Rangers, the Capitals, and even the Penguins. And then you throw Florida and Tampa there, and I think you have six teams that could come out of the East. I do not think Boston and Toronto are in that class. I don't care what points percentage tells us with the Maple Leafs. Until otherwise proven, I will not buy Toronto at all. I don't think Toronto or Boston is winning a playoff series. I think Toronto will lose to either Tampa or Florida, whichever one of those two teams they meet. And Boston, to me, is going to end up playing the winner of the Metropolitan Division as the second wild card in. If it's Carolina, Carolina's better than Boston. And if it happens to be the Rangers or Washington, maybe that's a better matchup, actually, for Boston. But I don't care who it is. I think the Boston Bruins are going to be a one and done. Of course, I'm saying this now. Who knows what happens between now and the end of the season? Certain guys could just catch fire. Jake DeBrusk could remember how to play and score, and maybe Boston's a different team. I don't know. And maybe other teams have injuries. Carolina certainly had a little bit of a problem with that tonight. But anyway, what my point is that I look at the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers in a very similar vein. This was not about proving we're better than you. This was about establishing a little bit of dominance, a little bit of that mentality that all of those years that you kicked our ass all over the ice, those years are over. And the Hurricanes, although Mika Zibanejad did score his requisite goal against Carolina, it is a nutty stretch for Zibanejad. If I could just find this real quick, Mika Zibanejad, now in his last 13 games, against the Hurricanes, and I don't believe did he figure in on any of the other goals tonight? I have to find that out. I'll get that in a second. But Zibanejad, in now his last 13 games, has 9 goals against Carolina. 9 goals in 13 games. It is insane how good Zibanejad has been against Carolina. But then again, Zibanejad's been kind of good against everybody the last few years. There's a guy who just, he got an assist tonight as well. So 9 goals, 12 assists. So that's 21 points in his last 13 games against the Hurricanes. That's pretty good. Sort of Sebastian Aho-like, huh? Sebastian had 3 goals in the 4 games a couple of years ago in the regular season. The Carolina didn't win, right? Then they had the pause. And then they went to the bubble, and then the Hurricanes swept the Rangers out of bubble hockey, and Aho had 3 goals and 8 points. 3 goals, 5 assists in that series, and had a 3-point night tonight. So now has 11 points in his last 4 games against the Rangers. Aho was excellent tonight. There were a lot of guys who were excellent tonight. Andrei Svechnikov was excellent tonight. Jacob Slavin was Jacob Slavin tonight, although did not have a point. Tony DeAngelo had his second consecutive 3-point night for the Hurricanes, and he was absolutely brilliant tonight. He had a couple of puck management problems tonight. He gave the puck away 4 times. He was definitely culpable on the goal that made it 5-3, short of the midway point of the third period. And at that point, Carolina's like, oh, we're in a hockey game. That's right. We're playing a hockey game. The Rangers are really good, man. I watched the game against the Leafs the other night. It was 2-0 Toronto. Then it was 3-1 Toronto. And the Rangers won it 6-3. Now, there was a goal disallowed. Austin Matthews get it with a kicking motion, kicked the puck in past Shesterkin. And so that goal was waved off. It would have made it 5-4. Maybe it's interesting. But the Rangers were, I mean, way better than Toronto after the first period. And by the way, before we get into the game, little surprised that the Rangers played Georgiev tonight instead of Shesterkin. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it was the Rangers saying, hey, we think we're going to come down there, beat you with our backup. I don't know, man. But I just feel like that if you're the Rangers, you want to throw your best, because these games, they matter in the standings because they could matter in terms of home ice. If you look at the standings in the Eastern Conference in the Metropolitan Division right now, Carolina and the Rangers are deadlocked at 56 points. But oh, by the way, that games played column shows that Carolina's got 4 games in hand on the Rangers. Even in points, 4 games in hand. Absolutely stunning. The Capitals, by the way, the Capitals aren't even in third place right now. The Capitals are in fourth place right now because the Penguins won tonight. I think they beat the Blue Jackets 5-2. The Penguins now have 55 points. So there are so many good teams in the Metropolitan Division, although I think in the Eastern Conference, we know who the playoff teams are going to be. Barring a collapse by somebody or an absolute heater by somebody, and I don't even know who, because I think the Islanders and the Flyers are both way too far back among the teams who might get hot. They could, they'd have to play. I mean, you'd have to play, like, in terms of point percentage, almost 850 in order to get to a playoff spot, probably, if you're one of those teams. Just dug way too deep a hole. The Flyers have lost 10 in a row twice this year. I can't I can't even fathom that. Anyway, my larger point is that you look at the standings and the Hurricanes have now a huge edge. I mean, tied in points, but with four games in hand. Absolutely remarkable. By the way, Florida's probably going to go, going to win tonight, I'm sure. They're playing in Vancouver, although I shouldn't say they're going to win in Vancouver because Vancouver's playing much better. And Florida has been a little bit shaky on the road, but they weren't shaky in Edmonton where they won. I think it was 6-0 the other night. All right, let's get to a bunch of things. And quick reminder, the Hurricanes will play in New Jersey tomorrow night. And we don't know. We'll get to the, we'll start with it right off the bat. Teuvo Teravainen left the game with a lower body injury, did come back, looked fine, and figured in, although he didn't get an assist, and I understand why, having now gotten a close look at the replay, really created the goal for Sebastian Aho, but didn't get an assist for it, and played the rest of that period, although it was relatively late in the period when he did come back, but did not play the third. So that certainly bears watching going forward. And he played less than 8 minutes, I think, in the game. But when Teuvo Teravainen doesn't play, you're a little worried. He didn't take another shift after getting back on the ice and helping to create the goal. That was the last shift of the night for Teravainen. But Carolina's got depth. But in that period, they lost Teravainen, Trocheck, and Svechnikov. Within like 5 minutes, and your head is spinning. Trocheck came right back. Andre, you were a little bit worried because it almost looked like he might have done something significant to his hand, but then Andre came back and helped create a goal. It was a great night all around. Carolina was really, really good. Quick summaries of what I saw tonight, and again, Alec Campbell will join us in just a few minutes. Hurricanes had... I mean, all the jump in the world coming out of the first period. This is how dominant a first period. We don't always like to rely on stats, but even though I don't know that they had this many chances, scoring chances, but here's the way it read on Natural Stat Trick. 21-12 in terms of shot attempts, 11-4 on goal, 16-0 scoring chances. 16 for Carolina. Nothing. This is in all situations. Although the Rangers did not have a power play, I think Carolina might have had a power play. I think they did in the first period and scored on it. That's right. High danger chances, great A's, 11-0. Absolutely amazing. That was the first period. Second period, Rangers did show up. Now, it took about 4 or 5 minutes before the Rangers did show up. Carolina was all over the New York in the first, 4 or 5 minutes of the period. And then after Jesper Foss makes it 3-0, now the Rangers start the pushback. And it started with this.
Kept into the blue line, yes. Great job by Aho. That shot hits the post as Stepan was in front. Stepan was providing net front as Aho flung one towards Georgiev.
Teravainen's hurt. Oh, boy.
Teravainen takes a big hit, and coming to his defense is Jesperi Kotkaniemi. As he went after Barkley Goodrow, as the Canes didn't like the hit that was delivered on Teravainen.
All right, the hit was clean, 100% clean. The only thing that we could notice is that it looked like there was some leg to leg at the, but it was a clean hit. Goodrow did not You know, get him in the open ice. Teravainen had the puck. The first thing I thought was, oh, I hope it's not a concussion. Remember last year, Turbo missed a bunch of time with a concussion. There was about, I don't know how many, 20-some-odd games that Teravainen was out for, and we didn't know when he was coming back. And he had been cleared medically to come back, but it all depended on how he felt. And it was almost getting a little frustrating, and then finally at the end of the season, he did come back. And you just wonder if how much of all the time he missed just set him and the offense back all year long. But Turbo has been absolutely awesome. He did come back in the game and helped create the Aho goal that we'll play for you in just a little bit. But that hit created the skirmish. Kotkaniemi comes to his defense. Again, wasn't a bad hit. Wasn't an illegal hit. Certainly nothing to penalize. And then Kotkaniemi and Goodrow both got roughing penalties. Kotkaniemi got an extra two, which, honestly, that's fair. I had no problem with the way that was adjudicated. I thought that would be the case. That was the case. 5 seconds into that power play, Rangers score to make it 3-1. And the Rangers then were into it. The combination of the big hit, the arena getting stirred up, the Rangers getting the power play, the Rangers getting the goal, and then the Rangers starting to enforce, you know, kind of impose their will on Carolina in that stretch. And it's, the game started to look different. And then later in the period at about just more than 5 minutes left, Turbo comes back on the ice. Aho wins a faceoff. Turbo gets the puck, takes a kind of spins to the middle, takes a shot. And then Hunt for the Rangers collected the rebound off Gorgiev. But as he's coming in front of the net, Aho steals the puck and tries to force it past Gorgiev. I think it was a third try there. And Aho shoves it in, and it's 4-1, and all of you got the three-goal lead back. And then Svechnikov, who had left the ice, I think he was hit by Trouba along the wall, and you thought, oh, gosh, this could be a problem with his hand. Because it looked like that's where he took the brunt of it, and who knows if there isn't a problem with his hand, but he came back in the game, and with about 30 seconds left, he makes a great play behind the net, and it leads to a Nino Niederreiter goal that we'll get into in just a bit. But again, in the second period, you lose Teravainen, Trocheck, Svechnikov to injuries. It's like boom, 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 it was machine gun. Again, Trocheck hurt himself blocking a shot. He came right back almost immediately, and he had a great game, and it didn't look like he was in any particular bit of, under duress or anything like that. So he was fine. And then the third period, ugly start to the third. You knew the Rangers were going to come back. They weren't going to roll over and die. In Carolina with a 5-1 lead, you can understand, maybe sitting back a little bit, and that's the way the period looked. But the Rangers get a power play. Seth Jarvis is a hooking penalty, and the Rangers cash in on it. It's their second power play goal. I think the Rangers are 2 of 3 on the power play tonight. So now it's 5-2, and then a minute and change later, a little loose play in Carolina's end, and a Greg McKegg rebound goal goes in, and it's 5-3, and there's a lot of time left. A ton of time, and you go, okay. Rod Brindamore called a timeout, kind of restored order. I mean, it didn't look great for a couple of minutes after the timeout, but it didn't look bad either. So it wasn't like the timeout didn't do anything. The timeout was called. The Rangers and Carolina basically played even for a few minutes, and then Carolina got their game back. And the team that we saw in the first two periods kind of resurfaced for the lion's share of the last 10 minutes of the game, and then they had the power play goal where Tony DeAngelo sealed it. So that's where we are. So let's just run through a couple of things before we get to the goals. And again, we're not that far away from Alec Campbell joining us. For the night, Carolina had 65 shot attempts to 52 for the Rangers. That was a really excellent third period from New York, bringing that whole number close. The Canes outshoot New York 35-23. Chances 43-20. This is in all situations. Grade A's 24-12. And how about this through two periods? grade A scoring chances. Carolina 22, the Rangers 4 through two periods. All of this according to Natural Stat Trick. All right, let's go through the goals, and then we'll talk to Alec Campbell on the other side. We got underway in the game. I thought Carolina was playing great. They just didn't have anything to show for it. I mean, they were all over the Rangers, and you wondered, man, they could have one of these periods where you kick New York right in the teeth but don't get anything out of it. Then they got a power play when I believe it was Jacob Trouba had to sit. And it wasn't a great power play, but it only has to be great for a few seconds. And it was.
Trocheck behind the net. It's being spied by the Rangers. Hanging on to it. Gets it to Teravainen. Back to D'Angelo. D'Angelo takes a look. Sends it to Svechnikov. Back to D'Angelo. His shot, the score! On the power play. Net front presence. And the Canes have paradise by the goal line. A 1-0 lead for Carolina.
Well done there, Mike Maniscalco. Well done. Oh, that was fantastic. Hey, Carolina came out like a bat out of hell in the first period. RIP Meatloaf. Still think, Bat Out of Hell, one of the top, easily one of the top 25 albums of all time. If you haven't, if you've never listened to it, go get it. It's a 46-minute album, 7 songs on the album. They all slap. They all slap. Some of them are power ballads. Some of them are hard-driving rock songs. But it is a great album. And he passed away on Friday, either Thursday night or Friday. All the Meatloaf references tonight, pretty good. Like the Rangers were 2 of 3 on the power play. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Especially against the Hurricanes penalty kill. Anyway, it's 1-0. Really underrated pass back from Svechnikov to D'Angelo because it allowed him to get the shot away quickly. And don't you know, Vincent Trocheck with a great net front and the tip pass, Gorgiev, and it's 1-0. And then Carolina breaks in 2-on-1, Aho to Jarvis for 2.
Canes, Aho busting in, sends it across, they'll score! Seth Jarvis buries it! And Carolina jumps out 2-0.
Teuvo Teravainen got a puck along the wall in his defensive zone, flipped the puck out into the neutral zone. Adam Fox misplayed the puck, and it just kind of bounced past him, and Aho had a head of steam, and Fox was in no position to stop Aho with the puck, and Aho gets it, breaks into the zone. He's 2-on-1 with Jarvis, and then he puts the pass through the legs. He megs Ryan Lindgren. And it goes on the back door to Jarvis, who all he had to do was tap it into an open net. And it's 2-0 Carolina. So Teravainen picks up an assist right there. It was Jarvis's 8th goal. So Trocheck scores his 9th, a deflection in front. Jarvis scores his 8th on a 2-on-1 with Sebastian Aho. Then we go to the second period. Jesper Fast will pick up his 9th goal here. Carolina has to be the best team in the sport on set pieces. They create more scoring chances off faceoffs than I watch a fair amount of hockey. I don't see it happen nearly as much as it does with Carolina. Win, draw, shoot, puck, score, goal. And that's the way it happened here.
D'Angelo, he'll set it up. Shot put on and he'll score! Jesper Foss stings his old team! And the Canes go up 3-0.
I think actually Stephen Lawrence won the draw in this particular play. Stephen Lawrence, right. And by the way, Steve is playing dynamite. Can't come out of the lineup. I mean, we want Jordan Martinook to come back in, and I love Derek Stepan on the ice, but I mean, Stevie Lawrence ain't coming out of the lineup. He's just playing too well. Anyway, he wins the draw. Fast comes in and grabs the puck. Inside the circle, really. He gets the puck to D'Angelo. D'Angelo kind of drifts over to the right, feeds Fast back across just inside the blue line, pretty much straight out, but right at his back skate, and boy, did he tee off on it. His 9th goal of the season. Carolina leads 3-0. Then That's where the Teravainen injury happened. That's when the Kotkaniemi double minor happened. And that's where the Rangers got on the board when Mika Zibanejad scored to make it 3-1. But Carolina got back to their game. And Sebastian Aho won faceoff as Teuvo Teravainen comes back on the ice, win faceoff, shoot puck, score goal.
We're not going to worry about the fact they're aging me in dog years.
Oh, Teravainen, big shot, Aho with the follow-up, and he scores! Oh, the sorcery continues against the Rangers for Aho! And the Canes get their three-goal lead back. It's 4-1, Carolina.
Yeah, with if you go back to bubble hockey, or even that year when Aho scored three goals, but if you go back to bubble hockey, Aho now has 4 goals and 10 assists in his last 4 games against New York. 4 goals and 10 assists in his last 4 games against the Rangers. Absolutely great. Remember, the highlight goal was when Aho walked around Tony DeAngelo in that, but we're going to talk about Tony DeAngelo here in just a moment. So Aho scores his 17th of the season to make it 4-1. And then, remember, we had mentioned that Andrei Svechnikov had gotten hurt. Well, he apparently also had gotten well, and then, behind the net with the puck, made stuff happen.
Ian Cole sends it to Smith. Back to Cole. Cole, he'll shuttle one that's blocked away. Nemeth got a shin pad on it. Svechnikov thinking about sending it in front. To Niederreiter, they score! Oh, that's the magic behind the net! Niederreiter looking like Wayne Gretzky, the former Ranger, and sets up the setup by Svechnikov. And it's 5-1 Carolina.
A lot of people might not know that Wayne Gretzky did, for a time, play for the New York Rangers. How come we didn't hear that when we played the Blues? Anyway, I'm glad Mike's back, though. I really am. I'm glad Mike's back in the booth. I'm glad he feels good, too. You can tell. He had a lot of pep in his step tonight. But here's how this happens. You know, regardless of what happens with Smith and Cole up top, and I think Ian Cole picked up an assist on this, Svechnikov has the puck behind the net, and he goes to maybe start the lacrosse move. But what that did is it drew Schneider, the defender, and Nemeth, the two defensemen. It drew them both below the goal line at their respective sides of the net, and it left Nino Niederreiter wide open in front. Andre did a little stick handling maneuver and then fed Nino all alone top of the crease, and he put it through the legs of Georgiev, and that was 5-1. And you'd like to think we were done, but we weren't, because it got hairy in the third period. An early power play goal, Chris Kreider's 26th of the year. 26 goals. Is he going to score 50? Get out of here. And then, minute and change later, the fourth line, Greg McKegg stuffs in a rebound of a Ryan Reeves shot, and it wasn't really, wasn't a great shot, but it was a little backhand shot from in tight that Anderson couldn't glove. He just kind of, you know, deflects it out with his pad, but McKegg is right there, stuffs it in the net. It's 5-3, and there's plenty of time left. I mean, there was more than half the period. McKegg scores at 6:23, 5:08 for Kreider, 6:23 for McKegg. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh my, Carolina's got like 13 and a half minutes to deal with. And then Tony DeAngelo put the icing on the cake.
Now Trocheck, he's got the power play goal to Aho. Aho for DeAngelo. He walks the blue line. DeAngelo shot, he scores! Get fired up, Tony DeAngelo, on the power play. Carolina goes up 6-3.
And that's how it ended. Tony D played a great game, just a dynamite game. He had a couple of miscues defensively, but, I mean, he was driving play all night long. My man Alec Campbell, Stormwatch, Aftermath, Intermissions, Carolina Radio Network. That's two in a row of pretty stellar performances. Second period against Boston wasn't great. They got away with it. First half of the third period here wasn't great. Got away with it because the other 50 minutes were freaking awesome. Other than just agreeing with what I saw, what did you see tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is one of those games where the start mattered. You know, we've always made fun of the starting on time cliche type thing. And I've always been of the opinion that it's more of a retroactive thing. Like if you go back and you say, oh yeah, that was the portion that helped, you know, that helped get the Hurricanes to victory. I think that applies tonight because the Hurricanes were utterly dominant in the first period. I looked at Natural Stat Trick at one point during the first period, and even after the first period, they did not credit New York with a scoring chance.
None.
None scoring chances in all situations. It was 16-0, and the Hurricanes had like a 10 or 11-0 high danger chance.
Yeah.
lead in the first period.
Yeah.
So if anything, the Hurricanes left something on the table after the first, and I think during the second, there was a stretch there where New York started pushing a little bit. You know, they got there. It was actually right around the Teravainen and hit Kokkaniemi thing,
yeah,
which almost came back to bite them. Because I mean, you know where I stand on this whole thing. You know, where everyone was universally praising Kokkaniemi for coming to the defense of Teuvo Teravainen. I look at it like, yeah, but he took a double minor and the Rangers ended up scoring on the power play. So look at it however you want. That could have turned the tide of the game if you wanted it to, or if they wanted it to. And had the Hurricanes not played so well in the first period, perhaps we're talking about a different game tonight. But overall, it was, I think, a big night, as big as they come for a regular season game, I think.
Right.
You know, yes. At least at this point of the season. I mean, I could imagine some games, you know, in the regular season that come down to the wire if you're fighting for a playoff spot at the end of the season or whatever, that are big games. You know, I don't like the whole, it felt like a playoff game, and I'll just say this, from my vantage point on TV, it didn't look like a playoff game at PNC Arena. Probably has something to do with the cavalcade of Ranger fans that always makes their way into PNC Arena twice a season. But it was a pretty big regular season game against the team with whom you are directly competing for the top spot in the division. And you really had control of the game for most of the game. So between tonight and the last game in Boston, I mean, the Hurricanes are playing about as well as you can play, and that's without Martin Natchez and Jordan Martinook in the lineup right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really know what more you can ask of them. I mean, they've scored 13 goals through the last two games. two on the power play tonight. I mean, you had multiple guys with 3-point nights again tonight. I mean, they've been awesome.
Yeah, D'Angelo with his second straight 3-point game.
Yeah.
I mean, he just keeps stacking games on top of games on top of games. In that, not to create a division between you and I, close, dear friends, I actually appreciated Kokkaniemi doing what he did because without the benefit of being able to see what happened, it would have been very, very easy to assume that Barkley Goodrow, who has been known to be physical, and knowing that the Rangers were getting it pushed in for the better part of 25 minutes, it would have been very easy to assume that that was not a clean hit. So you see one of your guys go down, I think Kotkaniemi's immediate reaction is to come to his teammate's defense. And yeah, it's not great, but a 3-goal lead at that point allows you the liberty of doing that. It's not like the Svechnikov penalty in Seattle in a tied hockey game, which was completely unnecessary. The circumstances allowed for something like this. And then you put the Ranger power play on the ice, which is excellent. And as good as Carolina's PK is, you lose the draw. And then Zibanejad just blisters one, no chance. Great feed from Panarin. And I think you're right, because I was actually in the process of tweeting out that hit on Teravainen changed the game. And I do think it did change the game. It got the Rangers in it. I think that hit got New York engaged in the game, not just because of the skirmish after, but I think the hit itself and the way the building kind of livened up, because you're right, there were a ton of Rangers fans there, as there always are. So I think that game, that got the Rangers engaged, and not that long after the Teravainen injury, Trocheck goes down, Svechnikov goes down, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? And then Teravainen comes back on the ice. Aho wins the faceoff, sort of. I don't know if it's, I guess it's counted as a win because Teravainen ended up with the puck, but it was sort of neutral. And then he takes a spinning shot in the slot. Rebound. Was it Dryden Hunt, I think is his name. He tries to skate through the crease with the puck, and Aho takes it from him. And then hack and whack time, paying homage to John Forslund. And it goes in, and it's 4-1, and order was restored. That was the last we saw of Teuvo Teravainen.
Yeah.
He came back for that shift. They scored. My work is done here. You guys take it from here. And then watch the rest of the game from the locker room. And then Svechnikov came back and made a great play. How about a fake lacrosse move?
Yeah, and it worked, too. It was perfect. They both bit on it, and they both went to the post. and flashed to the front of the goal. So it was perfect. And, I mean, that's what he's going to have to do now, because everybody's just basically waiting for him to do it. So well done by him to do that. But I would say this. I mean, the hit was a turning point, but the fact that they scored on the power play afterwards, I think only added to that a little bit.
Yep.
But I would just counter with this. And I understand your point. 3-0 game at the time, whatever, you're probably more at liberty to do something like that. But the fact that you wouldn't do it in a big spot or a tie game or, late in the third period or something like that almost helped my argument, I think. Because that's when you get down to brass tacks of what actually matters and what doesn't matter and what means something and what doesn't mean something and what impacts things and what doesn't impact things. So the fact that you wouldn't do it in that situation tells me that it ain't important enough to do. So.
Well, I think logically you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. So, logically, it doesn't make sense to willingly take a penalty.
Yeah. So it's whatever. I don't really feel like belaboring it because I don't really care anymore.
Well, I'm not going to belabor it either. I'm not going to belabor it either. But I understood in that situation. I just understand it more.
It's to me, the way I look at it is just, okay, you went to show that you were, like, was it more to show your teammate something or was it more to show the other team something? Because the other team clearly didn't care because they went out and scored a goal right after.
I think the answer to that is yes. I think it's to show both. You heard D'Angelo after the game make a point.
I know, he loves it.
Right, of course he does. I know, of course he does. He's very old school. Of course he does. So let's talk about him, or Jesper Fast, who had another good game, but more Tony D'Angelo. This game, I mean, it wasn't a playoff game. This game mattered to Tony D'Angelo a little bit more than other games matter to Tony DeAngelo. And there's no bitterness. I don't think Tony DeAngelo could not have been in a could not be in a better spot in his career right now. There's no way. You couldn't dream up a better spot for Tony DeAngelo.
I mean, he is balling
out almost every night. He played 22 and a half minutes tonight.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. I mean, whenever you are trying to like reclaim your career, it almost helps you to come and play in a market like this where the scrutiny is kind of less and you can just go out there and play and you're going to be one of the best players on the team. And so like, but I find myself hoping that he wants to stick around, you know, like I don't really know what makes him tick. If it matters to him to play, you know, in bigger markets, you know, if it matters to him to play where he knows he's going to get more like national exposure and that type of thing, because he's a power play machine.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I love watching him play. I love watching him play. And it does feel like it's working out perfectly for him. So I hope all that matters to him to the point where, you know, he'll want to stick around and the Hurricanes will make him an offer that he will be willing to take because I like him and I hope he doesn't want to go somewhere else. But he was awesome tonight.
7 goals, 24 assists. My math tells me that's 31 points in 30 games for Tony DeAngelo.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now a plus 16 on the season. He's a minus player for his career. He's a plus 16. Part of the he could not be in a better situation is he gets to skate out there on the ice every day with Jacob Slavin. And
right.
I mean, that is just mwah.
I mean, it's
awesome.
it's sort of a win-win for him at this point, because if he's playing on the top pair with Jacob Slavin, then he's playing with Jacob Slavin. And I think they have both, as I think you pointed this out, they have both been able to free up their games because of that. Jacob, I think, has found a level of freedom with his game.
Yeah.
With that, because he knows he's going to get a defensive effort from Tony.
Yeah, he has.
And,
absolutely.
And Tony, because they play sort of opposite but complementary styles, that he can shine in that way with Slavin. But then if Tony goes back and plays on a third pair, like he was the beginning of the year, then he's playing against lesser competition and he still gets his power play minutes and he can still put up points. So I mean, maybe he's just the type of player that can play anywhere and he's just that good. And that probably is more true than anything else. But I mean, it just feels like everything's a win for Tony, no matter where he plays.
Yeah, I think your question about what makes him tick, what does he want? I don't think it's any of those intangible things. I mean, he's going to get paid at the end of the season. We know that. We just don't know how much he's going to get paid. And by the way, on the low, I think Carolina signing Jalen Chatfield to a 2-year deal is, I think, a very, very smart move. And I think there is every chance in the world that Jalen Chatfield is part of their top 6 or 7, maybe at worst, next year. I mean, the first year is a two-way deal, so they can send him to the minor leagues, but they gave him a $300,000 guarantee, which is, dude, you're going to be in the NHL because we ain't paying you $300,000 to stay in Chicago. So I think they're going to give Chatfield every opportunity to make the roster and maybe even play in their top 6. And you and I both liked him for the short period of time we saw him before the injury. I think he's got a great future. You know, I thought even before he went back down, I thought he was ahead of Ethan Bear. Bear's been a healthy scratch now for what, 3 games in a row? And as well as Brendan Smith is playing right now, it's going to take an injury, I think, for Bear to get back in the lineup. Brady Shea is the only defender who had not gotten COVID. So Shea would have to get COVID, I think, to get Ethan Bear back in the lineup. But I think Chatfield's part of the future on the blue line. Carolina doesn't really have any defensive prospects in Chicago. I mean, Joey Keane is borderline. I think he's more of a 4A player than anything else. But Chatfield gives them, as a cheap option, it gives them a little bit more room because you have Cole making almost $3 million. I don't anticipate Ian Cole being here next year. Although maybe. I mean, I've been blown away before. But it gives them a little bit more flexibility to pay D'Angelo. Just like the number that Kotkaniemi is playing on this year won't be that. He's not going to be a $6 million player next year. That number is likely going to be closer to, you know, 4.5, maybe 5 next year. You'll have more than likely have Trocheck and Niederreiter off the books, which would create even more room. You know, I think D'Angelo's number is likely going to be around 6. And I think that would still be a bargain if Tony could also take it to the market and get 8 somewhere.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know how it's going to work out. I would like to think that there is some level of, I think there's definitely a level of gratitude. Just how far that extends is another matter altogether. But he was great tonight. And to your point about, you know, he knows that he can count on D'Angelo to be, cover him when Slavin goes, on offensive walkabout. I think this is the reason why Slavin believes this. Do you think there's a smarter hockey player on the team, on a team of smart hockey players? You think there's a smarter hockey player on the team than D'Angelo?
No, I don't. I think there's a lot of really smart guys, and I think D'Angelo is one of them. I just think his instincts are second to none. I mean, in terms of his offensive game. I mean, he just knows when to hesitate. He knows when to walk the puck to the middle of the ice. I mean, both times, you know, he did that, both of those things tonight. I mean, both those power play goals where he hesitated on the first one, gave up the shot, got it right back.
Yep.
And then threw the puck at the net and got the redirect, and then the one that he scored, where he walked to the high slot and scores. Like, he just has a great feel for the game, like a great feel for when to make those moves. So, I mean, I assume he's, you know, like, to me, there's a lot of feel, a lot of instinct there, but I'm sure he's reading the play too.
Yep.
And he knows, just based on the way people are aligned and all that kind of stuff, when he can do it. So, yeah, I think he's right there with everybody else.
And you talked about the two power play goals, one that he scored and one that he shot the puck and Trocheck deflected it. On the Foss goal too, he did the same thing. He just kind of drifted to the right, allowing Foss to kind of settle into the middle of the ice a little bit, just inside the blue line, and then put the pass exactly where it had to be, right in Foss' wheelhouse, sweet spot, and boom. Good night for him again, man. Gosh, I cannot express how much I love Jesper Foss as a player. I can't. I mean, I want Jesper Foss to win a Stanley Cup. Yes, he's the kind of player that just, that player deserves to have his name etched on the cup. I hope it happens here, obviously. But at some point in his career, I want him to lift the cup. He's that kind of, to me, he's that kind of player. All right, let's start winding this down. Give me your 3 stars.
All right, once again, I mean, I had the same players as what the building had. So I had Svech at 3, Aho at 2, and Tony D'Angelo at 1.
Yeah, I think the last two of those were pretty easy. I thought D'Angelo was an absolute bona fide one tonight. There were some miscues of the puck. He was culpable on the third goal. But I think at that point...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Was he? Because I'm not saying you're wrong on it, but I looked at the play a couple times and I wondered if he wasn't marking Rooney at the top of the crease and Trocheck was responsible.
Oh, okay, you might be right.
McKegg on the back door. I don't know. Greater schematic hockey minds could tell me better.
There was a whole bunch of loose play though in the defensive zone.
But Tony wasn't even paying attention to McKegg.
He wasn't.
He was looking at the puck, and there was Rooney floating down to the top of the crease. So I don't know. I don't know how that all works. But
you know what the cool thing is that we could probably ask Tony, and he would tell us. And if it was him, he would tell us. Again, that's I love talking to Tony D'Angelo. Of all the play, I just wish we were allowed in the locker room because I would be at 77 stall every freaking day. Every day.
Yeah.
We would talk Phillies, Mets, baseball, and then we would talk hockey. And I bet he could talk. Go ahead.
And Sunday sauce.
Sunday gravy.
I say that because I asked Tony about family gatherings, and he told me what meals were like, and they're everything you would think they would be.
Oh my! First of all, you would be a fan of this because you love good, authentic Italian food. There, I'm trying to remember the name of it. There's a deli in North Raleigh right now that has the greatest sausage and peppers you have ever seen.
Oh yeah,
I'm love telling
that. Tony brought that up too.
I know.
That was one of the Tony told me basically that I think I was talking to him about Thanksgiving.
Right.
He said that they had, sausage and peppers and like an entire Italian meal before they eat turkey and Thanksgiving food.
That sounds
that's what kind of day it is in the D'Angelo Thanksgiving household. I mean, that is some serious. I mean, God bless their septic system.
I mean, it is good old Northeast authentic Italian Thanksgiving. I love talking to him. I have an absolute blast, and he really is. He is so smart. He analyzes the game. You would never hear Tony say, "I got to look at the tape." He would never say that because he has basically every play of the game committed to memory. My only change in stars, I went Trocheck as the third star.
Okay.
But I think there were a number of players who I thought had great impacts in the game. Obviously, Andre did. I thought Stephen Lawrence played a great game tonight. And that line continues to be excellent without producing a ton of points. Although that line did score tonight because Faust got on the board. I think Lawrence won the faceoff on that. But I mean, they were good. They were good again.
Scored tonight, scored the other night. My man Stepan didn't get on the score sheet. He probably needs a day off before he gets on the score sheet again.
Yeah, he did. And the Trocheck, Niederreiter, Svechnikov line was probably their best line. So and Svech was great. I thought Nino was really good tonight. But look, they had a lot of guys going. I mean, it's hard to find fault with anybody. They were pretty good with the puck, except for maybe a couple of stretches here and there, and that's going to happen against a team like the Rangers anyway. But man, Aho was so. Aho had some mistakes tonight, but I also thought that Aho had his fingerprints all over the game. So that was a big fan.
Yeah. I like Trocheck's game. He was my reliable player of the game tonight.
Was he?
Yes.
Did Andre get the hit of the game?
Yeah, we don't have one of those right now. Oh. Anyways, but we did. But Ajo got a star, so it's all good. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
What is the goaltender situation for tomorrow, or for the game against New Jersey tonight, depending on when people are listening?
My understanding is that I think Raanta can draw back in.
Okay. What was it? I don't even really know what his issue was.
Upper body. Okay, but so I was told that he was on the ice practicing the other day.
Right.
So they were just leaving LaFontaine on the roster to back up. So if something happened to Freddie, if he had to get pulled or if he got hurt, that LaFontaine would come in. But I think Raanta can play. We'll certainly find out tomorrow before 7 o'clock or by the time people are listening to this today before 7 o'clock. But I think Raanta can go. So, I don't believe he's still injured.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, then cool. Then I think Raanta will probably go. But if that's not the case, then I would think, would you roll Freddie again, right?
Oh, I think Freddie can go. There wasn't a lot of work for Freddie tonight.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. I actually think
Freddie will play tomorrow.
Okay.
I think they'll roll Freddie back out there against the Devils. I don't think here's the difference between the East and the West, or the difference between the Metro maybe and the Atlantic. Devils, Columbus, I mean the bottom of the Atlantic, I mean even Philly to an extent, because Philly's got high end talent. I mean there's just no garbage. And I mean everybody's capable. I mean the Devils are capable. This ain't gonna be an easy game. So I think Carolina's gonna roll Freddie out there. And maybe LaFontaine will back up again, but maybe not. Maybe they'll have Raanta back up, but I think they'll roll Freddie out there.
My thinking was if LaFontaine is your backup again, then you go Freddie. Because Freddie didn't get a ton of work tonight.
Yeah.
He got some, but he didn't get a ton. So I think you give serious consideration to that. If Raanta is there, then I would still give some consideration to giving Freddie a start, but it's not really their MO to do it. So I would sort of expect Raanta to play probably, but I'd be cool if Freddie played again tomorrow, no matter what. So what happens with LaFontaine once Raanta is back?
LaFontaine just goes to the taxi squad.
Okay. Yeah. I keep forgetting they have that.
Yes. He goes to the taxi squad. I could be wrong here, but I don't believe LaFontaine is going to do anything but be like a sub. I don't think you're going to see any starts for LaFontaine. If they need to start a goaltender that isn't named Anderson or Raanta, I think it will either be Lyon or it would be if Mäkiniemi is healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lyon should be the guy, right?
Well, yeah, he would. If Mäkiniemi came back and reestablished himself after the injury, I think it was a back injury. If he came back and played, he was dynamite in Chicago. So was Lyon, but Mäkiniemi was the starter. Lyon was really just backing up in Chicago. So it would be one of those two that would come that I think would play. I'm not saying that LaFontaine isn't a prospect. I don't know. But you're just not in the middle of a college hockey season. You're not just, unless you are the next Ken Dryden, you're just not playing in the NHL. Like, I think this, I know Spencer Knight did it with Florida, but Knight was a much more heralded prospect. And by the way, Knight has struggled. So, I mean, it might have just been a heater last year. But right now, Spencer Knight has struggled. And if it weren't for Sergei Bobrovsky returning to his best form, Florida would be in trouble in net. But they're covered because Bob's playing great. That's my feeling about goal. But I think Freddie's going to play, and if he can't, I think it'll be Raanta.
I just didn't know what Raanta's status was. Like, I don't feel like I've heard anything definitive about him making the trip or what. Right. I didn't know.
Well, I'm assuming he will make the trip. I can find that out probably in the next few minutes. By the way, it's snowing up here at the ranch.
It is. Yeah, it's still snowing here, too. We got probably, I don't know, an inch, 2 inches, inch and a half.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah, it's out there, man. It is out there. It's beautiful from inside.
Oh, that's great.
That's from inside, it is beautiful. It really is like it's a very pretty scene.
It's a winter wonderland. See, that's it. Snow scenes are beautiful.
Yeah, I know. I don't deny that. My gripe is not with the snow, but with the wintry mix crap that, well, I guess it is somewhat with the snow.
Yeah.
That turns us all into buffoons and makes everything harder in life, like
right.
Going to work.
Yeah, it does. It does.
That's why I don't like it.
By the way,
and the reward for it isn't great. The reward, the good parts of it for me, don't outweigh the problems that it causes. And so I just assume not have it.
As adults, snow is an annoyance. As a child, snow is a ticket out of school.
See, I don't think I agree with you as the blanket statement. As adults, snow is an annoyance. I don't think so. I think people around here have a very weird and bizarre, like, fascination. Like, I really am simultaneously annoyed and fascinated by the reaction that we have every single year when this weather comes around. Like, I just don't understand why people get so excited. Like every year is the first year they've ever seen it.
It's their opportunity to hoard toilet paper, Alec.
It's precipitation. Like, from now on, when it rains, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to take a picture of the rain. And I'm going to post it on my social media, or I'm going to do like a panning shot, like a panning video of it raining outside and just be like, look at the rain. That's what people do. When it starts to snow and you go on social media and everybody's feeds are just pictures of snow. I'm like, what is this? I don't get it. It's snow.
Awesome.
We act like we haven't seen any snow before.
It's exciting because we're all kids at heart. We're all kids.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I've lived like in places where it snows regularly and I've seen how it's handled. And it's just not that novel to me.
All you mountain people, you know? All you mountain people look down at us.
No, I'm not even a mountain person. We didn't get a ton of snow. We get the same stuff growing up in Hickory as we get here, basically.
We get nothing here.
But
it's so disappointing here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disappointing because it turns into absolute crap.
No, it's disappointing because we get nothing. I have been living in Oxford, Ontario, North Carolina, Canada, for almost 4 years. We have had two accumulation snows in my almost 4 years living here. The first year we had like 6 inches of snow. It was great. And we haven't had an accumulating snow since. We had last year, we had like 4 inches, but the next day it rained and it was gone. Like, come on, yeah. Man.
Right, but you grew up in the New York area where it snowed regularly.
Yeah.
And
dude,
you know, and it was a normal part of life.
1 year,
right? And
1 year we had a 26-inch snowfall. And by the way, in Raleigh we had about 2.5 feet of snow over a 3-day period when I'd been living here maybe 2 years. And my entire subdivision, was just kids on sleds, and it was awesome. I didn't even care that it was almost impossible to drive. I was able to get in and out of my driveway and in and out because I had a Jeep and I can drive in the stuff. But holy cow. Like, seriously, I thought we were going to get snow up here. And we get nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm mad.
Yeah. But, like, I lived in Chicago for a while, and it snowed like crazy all the time. And it just became an afterthought. Like, it just wasn't a big deal. So maybe I'm just desensitized by my time up there, that I just don't find it all that fascinating. That's all. It's fine. I mean, it is pretty from the window. That's cool. And I do like to ski on it. And if I had a Saturday and, you know, there was a lot of snowfall and it was a nice day out, I'd have a good time going out and sledding in it. But the last time I had an actual opportunity to go like play in the snow, I mean, I can't even remember when that was. So at this point, it's merely a hindrance.
Yeah,
to me.
It has been a long time, but maybe, you know, we'll get like 5 inches of snow tonight and you can go out and play in the snow tomorrow. You can make snow angels.
Yeah, maybe I can.
All right, I will give you this bit of news, this bit of Hurricanes news. Auntie Ranta on the flight to Newark.
Okay.
And there is no determination as to whether or not he'll play. He's no longer injured. He is healthy. So it was just letting LaFontaine be the backup. And I wonder if there wasn't some deal between the team and LaFontaine to get him out of Minnesota. You're going to get drawn NHL paycheck a lot. So to make it financially worth his while to do this.
Right.
And again, it was a 1-year entry level deal. And I'm not entirely sure that he is the top goaltending prospect in the organization. And I would not be surprised if he was part of a deal after the season to bring something else in or to send him somewhere where he's going to have more of an opportunity. Obviously, Lyon is part of the system now. Mäkiniemi, I think, is their top goaltending prospect that is signed. You got the kid from Russia. There's also the kid from the Czech Republic that they drafted a year ago. So who knows where LaFontaine is in their goaltending pantheon. I don't even know if that's the right word. On that note, we'll do this again tomorrow, huh?
All right.
You have anything else to report?
No, I got nothing. I'm all out. I'm all out of reports.
All right. Do you have the right Mucinex? I'm just curious. What Mucinex do you have?
I do. I have, I don't know. I don't know what the right one is, but I've got Mucinex, Fast Max, Cold Flu, and Sore Throat.
All right. If you have to give them a card...
Maximum strength.
If you have to give them a card and show your ID, that's the right Mucinex for you.
No, I don't have that. I don't have that.
You got to get that.
Yeah, because I got it at a grocery store. I didn't get it at a drugstore.
Yeah, you got to do that. That's the good stuff. That's the stuff they make meth with.
Okay. Yeah, right. That's why they got to get your ID.
Right.
Make sure you're not in the system.
Yes. I always go right to the counter and say, where's the stuff you make meth with? I need that. So, all right. On that note, best to you and the brood, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
All right, man. Same to you. Talk to you soon.
I ain't lying. Boy, I wouldn't go ask them exactly the way I did. Give me the stuff that you make meth with. No, don't say that. You get a card. You hand them the card because they don't put those medicines out. They're over the counter, but they're behind the counter at the same time. And then you hand them your ID. You just can't buy more than one, I think, every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, something like that. Other than that, Hurricanes win at 6-3, second straight win. They've scored 13 goals in their last two games. They're in first place, 27-8-2. 25 regulation wins is best in the NHL. 56 points tied with the Rangers, but again, 4 games in hand. The Rangers' record is 26-11-4. Carolina 27-8-2. Canes will play in New Jersey on Saturday night, 7 o'clock start. We'll see if Antti Raanta draws in. My guess is he will if he is 100% healthy and on the trip. So I think we'll either see Freddie as a, I don't know, taxi squad member and LaFontaine backup, or Freddie will just be the backup for the game in New Jersey. Tony D'Angelo, 3 points. Sebastian Aho, 3 points. Vincent Trocheck had a goal and an assist. Good night for the Hurricanes. Big win over the Rangers. We are brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Go check them out online, aluminumcompany.com. I think I already said that. Siding, roofing, entry doors, storm doors, gutter helmets. You got it all right there. And follow the Canes Corner podcast wherever you get your podcast. Where else can you get goaltending updates, medical advice, and snow conversations? Only here on the Morning After podcast. I am Adam Gold. See you tomorrow.
This has been the Canes Corner podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsBand.com or wherever you get your podcasts.